you so much for this morning, for the privilege to be called to share your word. Thank you for everyone that is gathered here to hear from you. We want to hear from heaven this morning. My Father, I strip myself of every confidence that my head, my own knowledge, or ability to share your word. I place all my confidence in your mercy, in the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the help of the Holy Spirit, that under covering today will cause me to minister as an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Lord, help me to redeem your time. Lord, help me not to say things that are unnecessary. As your word goes forth, let it go forth in power. Let it go forth in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit to do our internal and eternal work in our life. Causing our wills become more humble, our minds to further enlighten with revelation of the word as it goes forth today, and our emotions to further control by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Receive your grace and mercy as you go to these services. The Holy Spirit has set you at my right and lean on you for help. I thank you for everything you do to glorify Jesus, to testify of him as you go to the word this morning. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll do a brief cut from verses 3 to 5. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. We're in this, we have been in the book of Timothy for some time now. And last time we were in verses, we spoke from verses 3 and 3 to 5. I'd like to just go over it again before we go into what I believe God wants us to have for today. Praise the Lord. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. So read after me. As I just a minute. Okay. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with a pure conscience. A pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee, that is Timothy, in my prayers night and day. Verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in thee also. So let's go over these verses. Verse 3. Paul began to speak about how he served God. You see, a lot of people in the body of Christ think they are serving God and they are not serving God. You see, the Bible says that Paul will open to Romans chapter 1, verse 9 very soon. But you see, we look at life of Paul. And we can see how, because he is the pattern disciple, how he served God. So he was telling Timothy, he said, I thank my God that I serve always praying for you. You see, you can see, last time we spoke about what covering does. That is, he kept on praying for Timothy. We'll see why as we continue. So how do we serve God? The master himself said in the book of John, he said, if any man will serve me, let him follow him. That is, copy my example. And where I am, the person will also be. And the person that serves me will be honored by my Father. Praise the Lord. So let's see, how do we serve God? I put it here in summary. I will put scriptures behind it. We serve God with our born-again human spirit, with all humility, a good conscience, and with fastings in the place of prayer. I will repeat, and I'll put scriptures to what I've just said. Basically, we serve God with our spirit. So we serve God with our born-again human spirits. Now, there are other things that we have to add to it. So I'll repeat this definition again. We serve God with our born-again human spirit, with all, say all, humility, a good conscience, and with fastings in the place of prayer. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Are we there? Romans 1, 9. Let's together. For God is my witness. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my what? Spirit, in the gospel of his Son, that without what? Ceasing. I make mention of you always in my prayers. You see, again, he was talking to the people in Rome, the Roman Christians, that he was serving God, praying for them without ceasing. He said the same thing to the church in Ephesus, in which Timothy was the pastor. So we can see there, the way we serve God as Christians is we serve God with our born-again human spirits. Now, I said with all humility. We are going to see why. Because his humility is what gives you the grace to labor in prayer. The same Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 9. Let's put it on there. Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Acts chapter 20, verse 19, sorry. Acts 20:19. When Paul was talking to this same Ephesian church, when he was about to depart, he said something. He said, serving the Lord with what? All. Say all. All what? Humility of mind. Why is that critical in serving God? Is it because whatever you have to do for God has to be by grace and mercy? So that if you don't serve God, the degree of your humility will determine the amount of grace that comes to you. James says, for he giveth more grace to the humble. So here we see Paul again. When he was talking to the same Ephesian elders, he said that serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Praise the Lord. And also, you will notice that in Paul's writings, he keeps talking about conscience, good conscience, good conscience. See, there's something I see in Christianity. Many people, not all here by the grace of God, when we get born again, we think that it's not important to exercise a good conscience. It's a very great mistake. You see why? The same Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said that the end of the commandment is what? Charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That is, love can come out from a heart that is not pure. See, the conscience is like the needle that determines, tells you what it is, actually the voice of your human spirit. Your spirit puts something in your heart. I follow him then. That's the voice of your spirit that begins to tell you, don't do this. That's why he talks about it in the book of Romans. He said that the unbelievers, the thoughts of their heart, meanwhile, excusing or accusing them. That is how you know whether you are right or wrong when about to make a decision. I found me so Paul, towards his ministry, keeps on talking about a good conscience. Serve God with a good conscience. So we see this issue of a conscience is very important, to have a pure conscience or a good conscience. And what does it mean? In the book of Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Amplified, you don't have to turn there. Paul says that, where do I exercise myself to have a conscience that is void of offense, why? Toward God and toward all men, Christian or unbeliever. You must make sure your conscience before God is tender. When God is nudging you to do something, you quickly obey. However, when somebody does something, becomes sensitive to people around you. I follow him. So it's very important. We need that aspect of the good conscience. So I put it, I say, you need to keep a tender conscience if you are going to be led by the Spirit of God. It is you can whisper something to you, but it's your conscience that will navigate you to actually where it's taking you. Praise the Lord. That's why you remember the story of David in the Bible. When he was with his strong men and the Saul was fast asleep. You know that story. And the Bible said that they told him, I said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Paraphrasing. Don't worry. Just once, I will pray it for you. And you know, they have a scripture in the Bible. God already anointed David and said, you are going to be king. But see, it was the conscience that would determine whether it was right to do it that way or wrong. So they had a scripture, just like James, John, the sons of thunder. They said that, let us call fire down. They had the scripture. But see, it is not in line with the love of God. So you know that story. When David cut Saul's garment, the Bible says his heart smote him. You see, our hearts must always smite us when we do something wrong. Not necessarily when we kill somebody. Either you find yourself gossiping or opening or saying things that you shouldn't say. Something in your heart should be tender. See, because if you don't exercise a tender conscience, after some time, you start calling evil good. So that's why every opportunity, and it's the best way. I was going to one of Kenneth Hagin's weaklings. He said, anytime he makes a mistake, I should use a curse word. He said, immediately we'll run back and go to my middle person. I'm sorry, I should not have used this curse word. You know why? Because the next time, he will remember, I won't want to go and humble myself again. I said, so he will deliberately avoid doing it. So you know, I can't imagine you come to church, you start gossiping about somebody. What this one did, what that one did. Your heart should smite you. Even though what you have said is true. But that's not what God said you say. He said, if you any man sees, but I see a sin not unto that, he shall ask for life. So in those moments, secondary, you have some boys. You know, they will get to school and they go and whisper, don't you know that boy? He urinates and he wets his bed. What you have said is true. But why do you embarrass the poor guy? Are you following me? I've just given a simple example. But you can relate to many areas of life, things that God allows you to see. You know, people's nakedness, he expects you to cover it or help them. And then you start gossiping. The Bible says that there's a scripture in Proverbs. I can't remember. I remember who mentioned it. Say they tell you Biara. He said it's as wounds when he says things to you. Anyway, God wants us to exercise a good conscience that is sensitive. So when you want to say something, before you say it, your heart will spread. I can't say this though. Even though it is true, but it's going to bring about division. The master said, whoever does not gather with me scatters. Yes, a tale bearer reveals what? Secrets. He's not saying the secret is not true. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So I can't stand there today and say something that will divide the body of Christ here in this local body, even though it may be true. The pastor said, whoever is not gathering with me is scattering. You can't go to that place, whichever group you are in, and expose somebody in authority's nakedness, or even a regular member. No, it's not your business. It's not your business. That's why I told Peter, he booked Peter. I said, do not call what the Lord has called clean, unclean. What the person has already repented. You are still kind about that. That will not be a fortune. Just anyway, let's move on. So the third thing he mentioned, which is very important, in that same verse that we looked at, he said, pray without ceasing night and day. We dealt with this extensively about spiritual fathers. They watch and pray always. The master said, watch and pray always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 says that you should pray without ceasing. And Pastor has taught us recently about praying without ceasing. They made it so simple. They've given us instructions about, you know, how to bind the devil, you know, watch and pray at least 4 times a day, you know, in every opportunity and every temptation. And they've taught us, so I don't want to spend too much time there. But what I want you to notice is that if you're a true spiritual father, this is the hallmark of a true spiritual father. They pray night and day without ceasing. Look at Peter. When an opportunity came for him to go and be serving tables, he said, no, we will not leave the word of God to go and serve tables, but we give ourselves continually praying without ceasing. To what? Prayer and study of the word. Why? Because it will be a distraction. You see that also in the life of the master. So that's very important for us to know. The last thing I put here is, I know I mentioned fastings. We are talking about how to serve God with your spirit. And if you look at the entire thing that I'm mentioning, it's exactly, you find the seven pillars of wisdom embedded in what I'm talking about. In life of Paul, he talks about serving God with all humility, praying without ceasing. It's the same Paul that spoke about, he said that I commend the word of God that is able to build you up and give you inheritance. So the word is there. Now here, look at Paul. He's the one that said in 2 Corinthians 11:27. He said, fastings often. Why? It is the fastings often that services your spirit. Says that your heart is not overcharged or drained. Let's look at Anna in the Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Luke 2, 37. Talking about Anna. This is how we serve God as Christians. It's not by running about in activities and doing things that don't generate power. And when she said, and she was what? A widow of about 84 years. Which was departed not from the temple. But let's look at that. But what? Served God. How? With what? Fastings and prayers night and day. That's another example you can see in the Bible. To win all those things, to be able to serve God. Why? Pastor has taught us, Psalm 35, verse 13. It says that I humble my soul with fasting. This one takes you back again to the first pillar, which is honesty and humility of heart, which is the fear of God. So you can see everything there. That's what Paul practiced as a pattern disciple. And God wants us also to practice that. It's not only for spiritual fathers. You see, everybody must begin to cover. Everybody on time. Look at this. Believers spoke to us preparing. Bible says, Lord Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Every born again Christian is being prayed for by Lord. It covers everybody. So those that God has set in position for us, they to cover those under them. So you too, wherever you are, either you're captain of 10, of 50, of 100, of 1,000, you are covering. So it's a top-down system. So as Jesus is praying for the entire church, those in leadership, they are praying for those under them. You that you're under them, you are praying for those under you. So you must not break the link. Praise the Lord. We will not break the link in Jesus' name. So we must pray. It's very important. Now, I put it here. Why was Paul praying for Timothy night and day? We're going to see as we continue. But one of the reasons is, we see what Lord Christ said to Peter when about to face a great temptation in his life. He said, I have prayed for you. Look at 22 verse 32. He said, I have prayed for you that what your faith fail not. You see, Lord Jesus Christ praying for somebody on time. Because he knew that if I don't pray for you, Peter, your faith will fail. So the same thing Paul practiced here. He said, I've been praying for you, which you are going to see. Because when we get to verses 6 and 7, he was telling Timothy, he said, that God has not given you a spirit of fear. Why? Because you see, the opposition is ministry. You need covering to back you up. And not just for those that are in ministry. Wherever you find yourself, under covering. That's what he does. They begin to pray for you so that your faith will not fail under pressure. Why? Because the day you decide to obey the truth, the Bible says that persecution and affliction will arrive for the word's sake. So the easiest thing to do is to give it up and say, ah, this is too difficult. Imagine again, people criticize me. Ah, how can I be praying like this? No. Tap into that grace. Humble yourself. And God will release that grace through prayer of those over covering. Praise the Lord. So I mentioned the other time, I spoke extensively about the importance of covering. I'll just summarize. I said, they are the ones that pray with travel. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Say, my little children of whom I travel in birth again, until Christ be formed you. So they pray to get Christians or people born again. The petty Christ is formed in them, and that the Christ is what glorified in them. Praise the Lord. So we also begin to practice the same principles under them. And I said there, I said, God channels through this, their spirits, the power of God to do three basic things. I'll put it in a different way. This is how God should be still the same thing. They channel three basic things. Let's say together, protect, to discipline, and to provide nourishment for those under them. Let's say together again, to protect, to discipline, and to provide what? Nourishment for those under them. So you can always remember PDP. Say to protect, to discipline, and to provide. No, that's the easiest. So anytime your heart is squeaking off, you say, I don't want to miss my protection. And then discipline where it is necessary. And then to provide. Are you following me? To have nourishment so you can grow spiritually. So it's important. Say to protect, to discipline, and to provide. We'll give example. I already spoke about that boy in Corinth. That Paul had said, deliver him to Satan. Are you following me? So what they do basically is this. Do they help us to increase in our right doing? You see, what you are releasing under them is not enough. That's why God put you under them. I mean, the master said something when he said that when I was talking, he said, when they went to cast the devil, he said, oh, thank you, Heavenly Father. I have not revealed these things unto sons, but I revealed them unto babes. So Peter, James, and you were babes, but they stayed under them. So they were experiencing the same grace that was on the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not generate that power to do it. Not just to cast out devils, even in right doing. And for that's why when Peter said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, this kind cannot come out except by fasting and praying. That means at that time they were not fasting. Right or wrong? I'm praying, or maybe they're always sleeping. But yet covering. So this is the advantage of covering that we have. I don't have time to open there. Be open to Isaiah 32. Talks about it. Pastor shared about it recently. What covering does? Say a king shall reign in righteousness and princes will rule in justice. They help to increase your right doing. You get to work on time. You're able to do the right thing at the right time if your heart is right. Our hearts be right in Jesus' name. So I thank God once again for the covering we enjoy. We cannot overemphasize it so that people can understand. And the essence is not to repeat over and over because we heard it, but to actively what? Tap into it and enjoy the grace. Paul said, he said that you are partakers of my grace. Praise the Lord. So the other example I've just mentioned in passing is Jehoiada under Joash. That man, he was the one that kept Joash standing until the man died. And there was no covering to sustain the man. And this same boy went and killed the son of that man, of the priest. He said he should stone him. So that's the essence of covering. It helps you to add nourishment. You go and grow fast. And then to do the right thing. Praise the Lord. So let's see verse 4 now. Now Paul began to talk about to tone Timothy. He said, I desire to see you that might be filled with joy. Say, greatly desiring, not just desiring, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Thank God for the good morning Jesus prayer today when Pastor Williams was praying. I was talking about the joy of the Lord. Paul was telling Timothy, he said, I greatly desire you to see you, that I may be filled with joy. What does that scripture bring to mind? Where John the Apostle said, he said that he was talking to the elder and the elect lady. He said, it gives me this desire to hear that my children are walking in truth. I have no greater desire. Second John chapter 4. He said, I have no great desire than to hear that my children are walking in truth. So what gives a true spiritual oversight joy? It's not the money you give. Third John. Is this Third John? Third John 4. No, this is it. Third John 4, please. Let's just read it. I rejoice greatly that I've found. Okay, fine. So John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that what? My children walk in truth. That is what will give a true spiritual parent joy. Is that the children are walking in truth. They woke up this morning. I'm relating it to the house because we can easily relate to it. They woke up and they did good morning, Jesus. Oh, they are praying. They are banding the devil. They are doing this. They may not be there. Then something happens at work and they get a feedback. There was this brother, so happened and he stood and they will give a testimony. Then they're happy. Thank God, that's my son. That's all you give. That is what gives them joy. When you are walking in truth. So all the other things will follow. Part of truth is giving. But you see, you can give without walking in truth just to serve your conscience.
So it is that that gives them great joy. That is one. Then the other reason why I mentioned other times that why Paul was desiring greatly to see Timothy to give him joy was that Demas had left. Demas had already left. So the number had dropped. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Demas had left. Yeah, I told you, if you go and check the meaning of Demas, Demas means popular. He said that, are we there? He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. That is quickly. For what? Demas had forsaken me. Forsaken is a very strong word. Because I've left somebody without help. Forsaking me, having loved this present world, and he departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So Demas left when he could not handle the persecution. He said he has loved this present world. Bible says, love not the world. Now let's contrast Demas to Timothy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 in Amplified. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 in Amplified, in the Amplified Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are we there? What does it say? Say, but I trust in the Lord. In Amplified Bible, please. It explains it, it's clearer. This should be the desire of every child under any true spiritual oversight. Say, but I hope. But I hope and trust in the Lord Jesus. Soon to send Timothy to you, so that I may also be encouraged and cheered by learning news of you. Next verse. So say, for I have no one like him, no one of so kindred a spirit who will be so genuinely interested in your welfare and devoted to your interest. Next verse. For the others, all seek to advance their own interest. He was talking about those under him. That he could have sent. He's not talking about other men of God. He was talking about those under him that... Let's keep reading. Not those of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Next verse. This one. But Timothy. Now Timothy tested what you know. How as a son with his father, he has toiled with me zealously in serving and helping to advance the good news of the gospel. Next verse. I hope therefore to send him promptly, just as soon as I know my case is going to turn out. Thank God for Timothy. What a testimony. That should be our goal. That should be every child's goal in this house. That is, there's only one person I can send. Not that he was only planning to send one person. He was willing to send everybody. But out of everybody, he could only find one. And that is always the one that leads his, look at Jesus Christ, that puts his head on the breast of the Master, the John the Apostle. That will take the message to us and say, okay, I believe this thing and we must run with it. And I'm willing to die for it. Praise the Lord. Let's keep moving on. Praise the Lord. So that I might be filled with joy. That is what gives them joy. Okay. Then he now talks in verse 5 about unfeigned faith. For it to talk about unfeigned faith, that means there's a faith that is fake. He's talking about genuine faith. But see, I find it very interesting talking about this unfeigned faith. He said that this same faith was in grandmother Lois. Grandmother passes to Eunice. And then it's also in Timothy also. Can we just put verse 1 there? And so verse 5, help me Lord. He said, yeah, okay. He says that when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in, say first, in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I also am persuaded that is in thee also. That is, we parents, especially women, we have a lot to do in the raising of godly children. You see, it's not like someone said the other day that the place of his wife is in the other room. Ignorance gone berserk, how do they put it? God forgive me. It's for you as a woman, go and be the virtuous woman. Look at the time she gets up. Are you following me? So Paul began to say, look, what I see in you is not just because of you, but was in your grandmother. Your grandmother passed it to your mom, and your mom has faithfully passed this same faith, unfeigned faith, to you. Are you following me? So and I said, mothers have a very important role to play. Mothers and wives also. And I mentioned the example of Mary the other thing. The mother of Lord Jesus Christ. You saw how she was the one that would take Lord Jesus Christ to the temple. After some time, he never heard about Joseph again. But in fact, it's always the mother that was speaking. He said, son, why have you done this to us? And my master said, I must go about my father's business. So okay, let's go. There's the same mother that said, I thought, whatever I tell you to do, do. direct shows there's a role for mothers to play in the raising up of children. Very important. Please, women, don't take this role lightly. There's an adage in Yoruba says that Owuti Yaba Gbon. Lomo ma run. You know what you are doing? Spinning? Is it cutting? I don't know how to explain it. That is what the mother spins or throws out that the woman will shall do, whatever. I don't have a Yoruba dictionary. So, what am I saying? It's important. And I mentioned, we've mentioned an example of Mary. Also, another example in the Bible. I'll look at two other examples or three. I mentioned Rehoboam. I will repeat it again. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21. You see, I mentioned your time. I said that if you go through the book of Kings, it will mention the mother, and then it will now describe the character of a king. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Thank you so much. You brought it. Let's go to Rehoboam. Rehoboam, 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 21. Are we there? It says, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was what? 41 years old. 41. Say 41. Okay, we'll see. When he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel, to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naaman Ammonites. God has said they should not marry into this place. But you know, it's one of the mysterious mistakes that this guy did. Solomon. Verse 22. Verse 22. So, and Judah did evil. Are you following me? In the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. But why is he talking about the mother, that the mother was an Ammonite? Let's look at Asa. 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 9. 1 Kings 15 9. It's the same thing. He mentions the mother. If you go through, I'm just taking these two examples. Why? Because both of them were 41 years old. Let's read. Are we there? And in the 12th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Next verse. And 40 and what? 1 year old. Reigned in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maaka, the daughter of Abishalom. Next verse. And Asa did that which was what? Right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. David did not give birth to Asa. But you can see the important role that women have to play. Not just women, and then who you allow your son or your daughter to marry. So we're talking about mothers here. We're also talking about you that you're about to marry. You better be careful who you marry. Don't go and marry from Ahab's house. Because there's a woman called Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Now let's look at the character of Jezebel. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25. It's very important. It's very, once you see the boy or the girl looking funny, call your son and your daughter and say, no, you are not. You don't understand. Before they disgrace you, better disgrace them in the house. You know, children can't see. It was like when Moses was with Joshua. He said, Oga, there's a sound of war. In the car, Joshua said, I'm on this chair. He's not the son of what these people have gotten drunk and misbehaving. Why? Just because of spiritual growth. They can't see. They can't see. What does he say about this one? Say, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, did what? Stirred up. Say, stirred up. That means a woman, your wife, can stir you up. Put it in the Message Bible. Put in Message Bible. He stirred the guy on. That means even if Ahab's heart was right, the other force of iniquity through the wrong woman that he chose affected what God wanted. So he could not rule well. Message Bible. It says, Ahab, pushed by his wife Jezebel and in open defiance of God, set an all-time record. Because I told you, break a lot of joy. Set an all-time record. He making what? Big business of evil. But what was the root cause? He married into the house of what? Jezebel. He married Jezebel. So there's this king, Jehoram, who made a mistake after seeing all this and took his head again to go and marry daughter of Ahab, Athaliah. We know this story. We don't have time to turn there. Athaliah was the one that killed the royal seed. So what are we saying? Like mom said, you better begin to pray to get the needle in the haystack. I said the other day, I said, what's the needle in the haystack? I said, the needle is the speak about needle of a compass. So Paul said, you are looking for a needle in a haystack. So when you, Paul talked about Christians being wood, hay, and stubble. So you are not looking for the Christian whose the needle of his compass is pointing north, has a good and honest heart that is moving towards the glory of God, towards perfection. Hey, brother, if you are not sure, set the barn on fire of intercession. Burn the barn down. Burn the hay. So you have the needle that you can see it. What am I saying? You pray. Build up fire around the person, either a man or a girl. You can't hide it. It's like when Paul took wood and was going to lay it on fire. What happened? The serpent nature jumped out. So what do you listen, what does the Bible say? The Bible does not say. But there's a saying that says that all that glitters is not gold. The only way I now go to is put it inside fire. Then hit it with fire. The fire of intercession, I must say, go and burn somebody like they do in those days. When you begin to pray, you ferret out the hidden things of dishonesty. You ferret it out. That's what I said in Psalm 139. It says that, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me. What who is the one that searches? But the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. So when you see that lady, so poop are you. And she comes to church, she's well dressed, everything is. Brother, take that gold to be sure. Possess it, or that brother. Fire it in the place of prayer. God, I want to see the heart. Not to condemn or criticize. Let me see whether this coming to church for 1 hour before is just to get a wife or a husband. Yes, so. Yes, so. Many have done it and have left. He gets married. Pew! Let's leave that for today. It's not a marriage seminar. So, I put it as every child needs instruction of their father and the law of their mother. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Now, let's go to what we have for today. Verses 6 and 7. Let's read. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. So Paul begins to talk. He's now talking to Timothy. Says, wherefore, I put thee in what? Remembrance that thou stir up. Say, stir up. The gift of God, which was in thee by the putting up of my hands. The same. You know, Ahab was stirring up. Jezebel was stirring up Ahab to do something evil. That means you can stir up somebody. Says that I came upon you by the putting of my hands, verse 7. For what? For means because. That is this gift that came upon you when I lay my hands straight up. Why? For means because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So was telling Timothy that there's a gift that came upon you when I laid my hands on you. That gift straight up. Are you following me? That why? He said, because that means there's a tendency for you, if God gives you a gift, to be afraid to use it in whatever, you know, you have vocational gifts, you have the gifts of the Spirit, and you have ministry gifts. Whatever gift that God has given you, there's a tendency for you to be afraid. That what would they say? Hey, if the Holy Spirit should tell me to say this now, stand up and be healed, what would they say? Hey, we'll see what he will say as we continue. So what's that? Stir up the gift that is you. What is that gift? That speaks about the gift of the Holy Spirit with initial evidence of speaking tongues, basically. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When Peter ministered to the people. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. What does he say? Say, then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. Say, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. So it's for everybody to baptize the Holy Spirit, right or wrong. So you can see that there. It's not hidden manner. You know, some Christians believe that you don't have that. God wants to give everybody. Even as many as the Lord God shall call. So we see that there. Let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 45. Another example in the house of Corinth, Acts chapter 10, verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished as many as came with people. Because what? That on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's the gift that you stir up. Next verse. But something, see, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Are you following me? Then answered Peter. So what are we saying? That is the gift that every Christian should have, that you stir up yourself. Anything you want to do, even if it's not in the house of God, you're going to work. Begin to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now, having said that, Paul said that he came to the laying on of hands. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Please put it there as you continue. What does he say? He said, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So, as he laid hands on them, God not only filled them with the Spirit, they also began to prophesy. So, you see, this does not mean that the only avenue to be filled with Spirit is by laying. No, no. You see, the Holy Spirit can use any avenue. Like, Peter did not lay hands on them. He was speaking when they started. He had not finished his sermon when God filled them and started speaking in tongues. Am I right? But what I want to see here is that they did not only speak in tongues, but they got a gift and they all prophesied. What are we saying? I put it here. Pastor has taught some mentors. I say, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gateway to operating the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in love, as the Holy Spirit wills. You see, when you start praying in tongues a lot, it prepares you. It gives you necessary. You know, when you pray, you are not talking to men, you are talking to God. So it prepares your heart for if the Holy Spirit desires to operate through you in any of the nine gifts. It's very important because as the Holy Spirit wills. So you don't go and pray for short of 7 and say 24 hours and say, I want to start seeing revelation. That's not what we're talking about. It's as the Holy Spirit, but you see, you have to be prepared. And it's that praying in tongues that prepares you. That's how you stir up the gift of God that is in you. Praise God. And everybody should have that gift. If you don't have it, after the service, you can be prayed for to baptize the Holy Spirit. So say praying in the Holy Ghost. I mentioned something. I say that the Holy Spirit in love, you know, as the Holy Spirit uses you to pray in tongues to prepare you. Jude chapter 20, verse 21. It says that, brethren, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying what? In the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? And that says that looking for, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus. Our pastor to understand life. The pastor told us, you see, the basic, the most important reason why God gave us tongues is to perfect the love of God. That is why he said, I show you a more excellent way. I followed him before I went to start on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, going into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That is the best way to operate the gifts is to tie yourself off regularly in the love of God. So that the gifts, if he wills, he will manifest. And he said, again, don't let's make the mistake. It may not be spectacular. It may lead you in a supernatural way. Still the same gift. Praise the Lord. Very important. So that's how we stir up the gift of God. So, but I want to put it, I was meditating. Timothy also received another gift apart from speaking in tongues. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 in Amplified. When he was ordained as a pastor, God gave him, Bible does not mention the gift, but it just says it. What does it say? Do not what? Neglect the gift which is in you. That special inward endowment, which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit. By what? Prophetic utterance, when the elders laid their hands on you at your ordination. This is not talking about tongues, though. He could not have made a pastor, he wasn't speaking in tongues. Are you following me? So this was a particular endowment that God gave him through prophecy. And like, let me just, Bible does not say it, but it could be any of nine gifts. Apart from his pastoral gift. God said, okay, maybe he said, for my own, the workings of miracles you operating in your life, something like that. He didn't say that, I'm just giving an example. It could be end of nine gifts, Bible does not say. But he received something. So it is that gift I was talking about. That don't be afraid. Stir up the gift. Pray, build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray and pray and pray. So that what you can be bold. So that's why he said in the next verse, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Praise the Lord. So that's what I want us to see in that place. So those gifts, like I said, from that story, can be transferred by laying on of hands as the Holy Spirit wills. So you go and sit under one man and go and say, lay hands on me, sir. Lay hands on me, sir. Because you covet his gifts. Papa Egan said this. When the Bible, you know, the Bible says, covet the best gifts. It's not for you as an individual. Say, I covet. Ooh. Nobody wants to covet tongues and interpretation. You want to covet the gift of faith. Have you? So he said, God told him that, look, notice he was talking to the church, not a person. When he said, convert earnestly the best gifts. So we're talking to the old Corinthian church. That when you pray, begin to pray as a body that the gifts will be in operation. Now, don't now decide who to use. Are you following me? So let's look at the example of Joshua and Moses. Numbers chapter 27, we from verse 18 at Joshua's ordination. Just to put some examples. Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. What does he say? And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay what thy hands upon him. Next verse. And set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Verse 20. Yeah. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Move to verse 23. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now let's see the result of that laying on of hands. Deuteronomy chapter 34 verse 9. What does it say? And Joshua, let's look at it. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For, why? Say for. Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So the Holy Spirit, as he wills, it can transfer a gift through your leadership to you. For the, not for personal use, though. It was for the congregation to be a blessing to them. That's why, you see, the initial things were developed in the love of God. So you can now use the gift for the edification of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 7 says, for God, back to 1 Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, says, for God has not given us spirit of fear, but of power of love. That, the reason why I said that was because, Timothy, don't be afraid of the gift that you got to. About what they will say. No, God told Jeremiah, say, don't be afraid of your faces. What I tell you to say, speak to them. I have discovered a secret. Under Pastor and Mommy, we are coming to preach. I've learned to pray. I've learned to pray. I'm still learning to pray. I've learned to pray. Ask my wife. I don't just walk here to come and tell stories. I know my number one problem is my flesh. So I begin to cry, God, please don't let this thing come out. You are laughing. The Bible says love must come out of a pure heart. That means the heart may not be pure. Am I hearing? One day will be your turn. So I spend hours. It's easy to get the message. I can sit down here. God, somebody will be talking. God just say, develop that. I'm very grateful. But the issue is this. The vessel must be pure. So I get up at times. All night. 12. Ask my wife. 1, 3. Pray. Screaming. God, please, please, please. This is pride. Please. It must not come out. Please. You know why? You must treasure what God has given you. Else he will take it. So you recognize. Paul said. He said, I keep my body under. That's Paul. Sometimes preach to others, I'm not a castaway. So I will not be used by God, I'm not made by God. So we are coming for choir practice, you pray. Usher, you pray. You are cleaning the floor, you pray. So you are doing the pure motive as unto the. So you report at 1 hour before everybody else. So you want to become a deacon. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Then whatever he tells you to do, you must do it. Because you have one master. Enter on shall beru. Akin berenta and jefu. Your own is to kill your flesh. When you have dealt with the flesh and you suppress fear and everything, then you now become a vessel in his under covering. Because you don't know the life you are going to speak to at that time. You cannot withdraw when God says, speak. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And that is why you need boldness. Paul said, that utterance may be given to me, that may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So you're not talking about prayer, and then you skip groanings because you are afraid. Acts 4:31, what does it say? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's what prayer does when you pray it, Lord, in the Spirit. That thing comes upon you. You are bold. Oh, King, we are not afraid to answer you on this matter. It takes prayer. It takes prayer. So you stir up the gift. You prepare your heart. So what are we talking about? Lord, have mercy. I've mentioned, that's why I told him, he said, God has not given spirit. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whatever I tell you to do it, because you have only one master. I'm going to start before the bema seat of Christ one day. I said, why didn't you tell this person? Because he told Ezekiel, he said, if I send you, I don't tell them, but they die, I will ask for their blood from your hand. These are things you don't hear the blood of Christ again. Yes. How can you? Lord, please let me get back to my message. Look at John the Baptist's message. Oh, brood of vipers. He didn't say, welcome, sir. Your Excellency, please sit down. We are happy to have you here. Oh, brood of vipers, who has warned you from the wrath to come? The wrath is the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Whoever tree does not bear fruit, he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. The priests, They were his father's contemporaries. But his father was a priest. Now, did God do it in love? No, God wanted to save them. So he was warning them for the wrath to come. But he had to say it boldly. They know that it's not the John the Baptist that we went to the naming ceremony. That the father could not speak. They can recognize the hand of God on the man of God. Now, I'll give an example. I will close. Can I take him? Let me first of all mention Ananias and Sapphira. I woke up at now. I said, God, this judgment that came upon Ananias and Sapphira is a bit hard. He said, they sold land, they kept part, and they brought it. Haven't you thought like that before? Acts chapter 5, verse 3 in Amplified. They had made a promise. Everybody was making a promise. So they joined those that were on that queue and said, I promise, sir, we will sell our land and bring everything. So they looked at each other, him and his wife. Maybe Ananias was a deacon. He was the wife on the other side. And said, on that, Mama, did they? Pastor, Mama, Soro. Okay, I'm going to see Shanti by. I'm going to give a lady. Jack, I'm not today. So they raised up. I mean, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just telling you how this can happen under pressure. He said, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? He was born again. How can Satan fill somebody? Why has Satan filled your heart like he did for Judas? That you should lie to an attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit and should in violation of your promise. So they made a promise. God enforced them. There must have been a queue. Or that they say, how many people are willing to give the church building fund? So someone says, excuse me, sir. I will give my land. I'll give you everything. So everybody, everything. Okay. Someone will stand up and say, I want to give a little. Someone say, I'll give clinical. So okay. Everything possible. So you know it's a disgrace for a deacon in the church to go to give a little. So he went and joined them. Everything. So God didn't do anything. But didn't God tell them before? Well, I mean, whisper to them. And I say, don't do this thing. Don't do this thing. It's not how much you give. Is according to what a man has. A man's love does not consider the abundance of anything he has. No. Welcome to that day in the body of Christ. To know the different dimensions of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. That's why I've said, so violation of your promise. So they made a promise. Withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own. Use part of the price for the sale of the land. They didn't force them. But one fair look like. The wife came 3 hours after. And I know that just came out. I was thinking about 3 hours after. Please, honestly, 3 hours after she came. I know Paul he gave a way of escape. He said, is it no for because he tempered the thing for her? I said, is it true that is this how much you gave? He said, he asked Nehemiah, he said, where have you been? He said, I went with her. Somebody where you are. Oh God, I went to do this. You have seen forgiveness. He too did the same thing. I fell on the ground. Now, in closing, as I was preparing. Let's look at, I will give a good example, so we're not afraid. Can I take him? I like the man, he's so honest. He doesn't come and say the good things. He will tell the mistakes he made. So he said this day, he went to a church to go and minister. So while he was there, and he was ministering in this church, the pastor of the church stood beside him, and there was people were coming. And he said he had this gift. We are talking about gifts, to use it boldly, that God had given him. And said when they were coming, he said this gift, when it's operation, as the Holy Spirit wills, he can't turn it on, that he will see into people's lives their sins. Are you following me? And at times, he will prophesy it out. So they were coming. So there comes this lady who was a leader of the church, Sunday school church. So she came on the line for healing. She was sick. So as he laid hands on her, he started to, that gift, he didn't activate it himself. That gift came to operation. And the Holy Spirit said, your heart is not right. Thou hast no lot or part in this matter. But as he said that part, you know, because you have to step out by faith, he just withdrew the rest. He was afraid. Sunday school teacher. Maybe they are the ones that were serving him, running around helter-skelter when he came to town. Nobody to say. So he withdrew that story. So the pastor, he said, can you know very funny? He said, I could have well stopped the service. But the moment he disobeyed the Holy Spirit, he gave him, there was no more anointing. So everybody else, he was just laying hands, nothing was going on, was pretending and acting. So the pastor of the church now, when they got to his house, he said, didn't you notice that something happened when that lady came? He said, yes. He said, yes, I received something, but I kept back the remaining. So the man said, the pastor said, isn't that pastor said, I've been having things, because he was not as grown as Kentucky. I've been seeing things in my heart as lady. But I think dealing with drugs. So Kentucky said, yes, dope. But I think I received something like that. He was dealing with dope. Then he said, because he was a nurse. So in any case, anyway, he went to the house of that people. I'll come to that story later. But he now said something. He said he went back to that place 2 years after, and it came out in the newspapers that Sunday school teacher caught with dope. And the church that was packed full for what he said, I bring you to two people. He go and listen to say, he said, I disobeyed. He said, I disobeyed him. Go and listen to the tape. It's on YouTube. He said, that's why it's not good to disobey. God is interested in saving lives of everybody. That one foolish Sunday school teacher that will not repent. He split the church. When the thing came out in the news, he said, that's what the world wants to do. And that's why we see things happen in the body of Christ. God wanted to correct that woman in love. How bitch may be embarrassed, but we have saved the entire church. That old church was split. So when he went back there, 2 years after, there were only two people left in that church. So he mentioned that. You know, I said when he got home that day, the man said, he said, yes. So, anyway, anybody can make a mistake. He said when he got to his room, he decided to lie down. So he started lying down. He just started dying. He said, I've died twice. Well, no, so he started stop beating. And he said, he started screaming and praying in tongues. Help, help. So the pastor came in with the wife of the pastor. And they said, they touched his heart. He had stopped breathing. But he kept on praying in tongues. So he was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to his aid. I started praying through him. Then he prophesied for 45 minutes. And he began to repent. Lord, I will obey you. Whatever you send me, I will not do it again. He started repenting as fast as he could. So God said, no problem. Get a sheet of paper. Oh yeah, you sign. I can take him. You are laughing. It's true. He said, I can take him from this day. I promise that I will serve God and obey him, whatever he tells me to do. He told the pastor, he said, oh yeah, you too. Touch his heart. His heart has stopped beating. Oh yeah, you too sign as a witness. Why? The wife sign as a witness. Why? Oh yeah, pray for him. Lay hands on him. Then the heart started beating again. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Wouldn't have been good for can take him. I'm not criticizing him. Understand me. To have said that thing and saved the congregation. That we told he was God. He wasn't trying. God wanted him to say it. That's why he cannot criticize Peter. Because if he had disobeyed, Ajeba. But when you disobey God, what you are trying to say is that God, I think I know how to walk in love more than you. Through your action. So he said, that went back to the church. His heart started beating. And he said, he was explaining. That's why I like that man. He said, because when God called him, God gave him that gift. He said he was afraid of what people would say. Firstly, he first of all has dodged the one of being a prophetic teacher. People don't like that one. So he began to preach what they liked. Then, when God gives him a word for people, he will be afraid. What if I say this? And this, the pastor is beside me. And this, he has introduced the lady as the most trusted person in the ministry that's been serving for years. But God had mercy. What are we saying to round up? It's the same Spirit of God that spoke to Peter and John and said, look at us! The same Spirit of God. Look at the result. Said, look on us. Silver and gold we have none. But such as we have given to you. In the name of those guys, rise up and walk. What if they had kept quiet? That man would have probably died a lame man. I've seen, maybe God didn't want to heal him. What am I trying to say? You see, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost a lot, it prepares the ground of your heart to stand and to do the will of God under any circumstances. Because there's going to be opposition in the day coming. Jannes and Jambres, they're going to rise up like he did against Moses. Some Christians are going to back out because of fear of what they will do to them. But God wants us to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they stood before the king. And they said, oh king, we are not careful to answer you on this matter. Our God is able to save us. But if it does not, we will not bow. Old Testament, New Testament. So people are saying Old Testament, New Testament. Peter, James, and John, after they beat them, they said something. They said, they should not preach. He said, whichever is good to you, either to obey God or to obey man. He said, judge you among yourselves. Excuse me, sir. Judge among yourselves whether it is good to obey God or to obey man. They were not politically correct. They did not tell out the message to police. I'm not saying go and open your mouth like John the Baptist. No, I'm saying it's what God, when he gives you, you will know. You are not trying to act up something or to prove that you are spiritual. But the way to do it is from those two verses. And as I read, I will close. Let's read together. Wherefore,
I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up what? The gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting of my hands, praying tongues. For God has not given you what? The spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's bow down to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let's talk to God. Don't let's condemn ourselves. We have not grown to that level yet. So there's room for us to change. So I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But let us know that obedience is better than sacrifice. It is more important for God to get people to live right if He allows you to talk to them. Are you following me? Bible says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Like Pastor said, open rebuke with secret love is the best. There's a time for open rebuke. Time for secret love. You combine both. Pastor has taught us recently. He said, when that joint meets, you see a brother, see a sin not on death. The sin of that woman was not a sin unto death. So instantly you see, you ask for life. Lord, have mercy on her. Have mercy on you. I mean, the blood, the life, and the power of praying tongues. Then you now have to rebuke. As God allows you. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Father of lights, draw me close. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father of lights, draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Run the race of time with your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it rain. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're my comfort. Strengthen me, hold my head up high. Stand upon your truth, bringing glory unto you, and let the peace of God let it rain. Oh Lord, I hunger for more of me. Rise up within me, let me know. Bring life and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it rain.
Just before we pray, you may not be in ministry or wherever you find yourself. That is the secret we've been taught in this house. Pray frequently. So when you face an opposition at work, and you have been offered a bribe, or you are a student in university, and a lecturer is toasting you, you're able to say, and I'm saying that I'm going to fail you. You're able to say, excuse me, sir, I am not going to compromise. I must be willing to stand by it. Because you don't know what it will cost you. Go and ask for me, sir. When he ate that day, he cost his generations. Mordecai comes. And God says, Jacob, have I loved? Esau, have I hated his generation? I will set his mountain something about your accounts. But when he did that thing that day, and he ate that pottage or whatever, he set the course of his generation on another line. Be bold. If it will cost you your life, it will not. If I perish, I will perish. But nobody has ever said that has perished. Why am I shouting and screaming on my head today? Because the body of Christ, we have watered down the gospel. And we tolerate a lot of nonsense. People steal and they come to church to give the offering to God. And they raise up their hand and they are giving tithes to God. Why are we saying this? The glory of the Lord is about to return. But God desires for you to be a blessing to everyone. It will be a blessing just to him. Let us pray. Pray. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, for your word that has come to me today. The Bible says there is no charge against God's elect. If I receive by faith your mercies, your blood to cleanse my heart from every charge in my life, that Satan might seek you to stand against me. I receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as I pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to stir up the gift of God in me as I build up myself in my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost to keep myself in the love of God, so that as I keep myself in and perfect your love, even love of God, that by your mercy and grace, it will cast out all fear to enable me to do all of the will of God and to be able to stand in this day of judgment. For as He is, so are we in this world. Let's pray. Pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit.